Yeah. Even likewise for data protection, you don't do the proper policies in place, practices, you know, cyber hygiene. When you get data breach similar to cyber security, it's too late. Mm. All the things you have to done, follow up, you know, remediate. It's a big headache. Yeah. So we have been talking about digitalization, you know, about how your solution is helping law firms, you know, move from legacy systems, you know, from Excel sheets, from even a hard copy paper. Mm. Yeah. So now using a software, in a few clicks, they can source, they can find, you know, conflict of interest, where their client's data is, you know, retrieve information so easily. You read the recent news that because of this COVID, that there was a poll done and they realized that a lot of Singaporeans had low IT or low digital literacy. Did you read the news?
No, I didn't read that, but I can imagine because every day we're facing it. Yeah. Actually, what is it about? I mean, tell me about it. Like,
so there's they say COVID-19 actually exposed a lot of people's digital literacy and also even exposed people who don't even have internet or even don't even have a computer at home.
Yeah.
So we are a first world country, but actually there's still a great divide in how many people are digital literate and who are not.
Yeah.
I think when you talk about working, you're an employee, right? Your business or company will definitely make sure you have a workstation, a computer, a laptop at least. But then when you go back home, you know, actually the poll revealed results that a significant number of Singapore families either only shared one computer in a whole household of four or more, or don't even have a computer at home. But they do have their smartphones, lah.
Yeah.
But still, yeah.
Yeah. There are people younger than us that just because they know how to use Facebook, Twitter, doesn't mean they are digital literate. They don't know how to use Zoom. They don't know how to use, some even don't even know how to use Gmail.
No, I mean, we can believe, actually, when we first launched it, right, we were telling people about cloud solutions. They really think it's in the cloud.
I experienced that a while back also, especially for, no offense, but maybe older, you know, generation, where they're not so IT inclined. Then when you say, oh, don't worry, you can delete it, but it's still safe on the cloud. Then they say, huh? Boy, what are you talking? What is, I delete, but then on the cloud. You know, so you have to explain to them what is,
Worse, some of them say like, oh, if it's in the cloud, then other people can just steal it. But they don't know that the server, if they don't maintain in their office, it's just as bad. Because it's connected to the internet.
Yeah. And you spill one coffee over the server.
Yes, yeah. And your backup is a headache. And also ransomware. So a lot of ransomware, they attack the local server. Even the backup itself got encrypted as well. So we had this fan supplier company that approached Andy Hack. They asked us to try to recover their stuff, but their backup also got ransomware attack, and they had bad luck such that this ransomware have no decryption key out there available on the market. So imagine they are like a 30-year-old company, so their 30 years of accounting is all gone in their hard disk. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So for the benefit of our listeners, in case some of you guys don't understand what is a ransomware, basically it's a ransom software. So you combine the two words, ransomware. So it's a malicious software or evil software that gets downloaded and installed on, let's say, your work computer or PC, and then you'll start to infect the rest of your servers, your systems, your other colleagues' computers as well. And then eventually, this software will then take over the systems and lock it down, and all your data will be encrypted. Okay, it will become rubbish. You can't access the data. And then what a hacker or attacker will do, he will ask the business owner to pay a ransom, and most of the time, it will be in bitcoins. So if you don't pay this money, they will either wipe out all your data or make sure you cannot operate anymore in future because they lock your data. Yeah, so it really disrupts businesses.
Most of the time, only way is to reformat the computer.
Yeah, actually, we have one of the law firms that clicked on a phishing email, and then this, and then this happened. So actually, we have all the past versions of the copies on our cloud as backup.
Nice.
Yeah. But if not, the entire computers were wiped.
So about digital transformation, digitalization, Privacy Ninja actually also provides digital transformation consultancy to businesses, those who are using legacy systems, you know, their accounting, maybe even using Google Sheets or Excel Sheets. So don't laugh, because we actually have a lot of real clients who, you know, come to us, say, what is a good software to use? We want to digitalize using, manual accounting to get a good accounting software, and also bring all their stuff online to have a website, so on and so forth. So,
and we can even do the translation service Sherilyn, we use Real Translator to actually translate. Like, let's say they have this software that they want to move their data to, and they need it in Chinese or need it in Korean or Thai. We all have real people to localization. We can help them. Yeah, we can translate every single part of their data as well as even the software's menu items.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Actually, I have one very interesting question. I mean, like, okay, for me, it's very interesting, right?
Yeah.
If you talk about like hackers hacking, actually, do you have a typical profile of the hacker that, you know, you guys see out there?
You mean physical outlook or characteristic or what?
Characteristic, like even how they, you know, work, how they, I don't know.
Actually, a lot of people have the misconception that hackers are some nerds hiding behind the computer, but actually it's not. A lot of the hackers out there have tattoos and even beards. They are actually quite hipster, you know. They are not like what is portrayed in Hollywood, just one guy wearing a hoodie hiding behind a computer. But no, actually there's a lot of like Ang Mo hackers out there, even Russian hackers. They are full of tattoo. To them, they look like a drug lord to you, but actually they are a hacker.
Okay. I need to watch out for this.
And you see those Hollywood movies, right, whereby the guy, oh no, we need to quickly hack into this secure building, need to unlock the electronic doors, then open a laptop, then access granted, you know. Then it is bullshit, actually. It really takes a lot of effort, you know, a lot of research and planning your attack vector properly and trying it out multiple times until you can access something.
Is it illegal to hack?
Yes, you definitely need permission. Yeah, you definitely need permission from the company that, let's say, Tesseract. I need permission from you before I even test the domain or server of Tesseract.
Okay.
If not, if you catch me, you can just report me to the authorities and I'll get in trouble. All over the world, it's almost the same.
Okay, interesting.
In Singapore, we have our Computer Misuse Act, so you'll fall under that purview.
Right, interesting. Okay, cool. Okay.
So Dex, you know, now with COVID, everybody by default still have to work from home. You know, of course, some businesses are allowed to go back to the workplace with safety measures and controls in place. But can you share with us some free tips and tips that companies or even employees or even people working from home can practice to prevent data breach? Any safe cyber surfing, internet surfing?
Yeah, I mean, the most common one for cyber safety at home is definitely not to use the same password across all your different accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a lot of people like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, even their Gmail or Hotmail, they are all using the same password. Even their computer is also using the same password. That's the worst already. And some of them even worse, they put the password as 123456789. So we have seen that a lot. So actually, one interesting thing is when we did pen test, and let's say we did a pen test for a company and then we managed to like get access to their database.
Right.
So we have seen such password, a lot of them using 123456789.
And even for MNCs, I remember there was one case, of course we are bounded by NDA, but there was one case for MNC, their password was still admin, and then for another login was the P at SSW0RD1. Well, I was like, how can big companies make this kind of mistake?
And,
no?
Yeah. And the funniest is, some is the password is the company name itself.
So that's one of the first few, you know, brute force attacks or dictionary attack that hackers going to use their software to generate the password. And if you put something simple, something guessable, so now the software allows you to insert like, you know, company name, certain keywords, certain things that you think will relate to. Then the software auto generates possible combinations. So always try to make it as complex as possible, as, you know, as unique to you as possible.
Okay. Yeah. How to prevent, you know, those, you know, because nowadays, right, all the phishing emails look quite legit, man. Yeah.
So don't click on the email link itself. So go directly to the website manually yourself. That's the 100% safe way.
Okay. Don't click on the link in the email.
Don't click on the link. Let's say something like, say, suspicious activity, please reset your password or we have some lucky draw. Just go, don't click on that link and go to the direct website itself. If their direct website don't have that link that they're talking about, means there's something wrong.
We
also do actually provide a phishing campaign services to businesses. So whereby some businesses, they want to test the, you know, the cyber hygiene or alertness, okay, awareness of their staff, we will draft a lot of, like what you mentioned, legit looking emails, the exact same template, you know, the look of like someone added you on Facebook or you have a LinkedIn request, or let's say we know you're using Office 365, we'll send an Office 365 update, or if you're using G Suite, we'll say there's a G Suite calendar invite byte. So all these are exactly one for one replica. Then we have a back-end monitoring system where if any of the employees click at what time, what IP and everything, we will generate this report and give to management. Then they will then from there identify who are the ones that are the slightly weaker links in the company. So provide better education to them because, you know, as they say, your cybersecurity is only as strong as your weakest link. One of your employees click, that's it.
That's it.
So we actually did some it's called a spear phishing campaigns. These targeted campaigns against your own company. So we did one, it's like a iPhone or Huawei phone free gift from M1 or Singtel. And then we managed to get like 80% of the company or half the company to click on it.
Typical Singaporean land, you see promo
free
code
stuff, they all click it and sign up.
It was for quite a big company. And then during the Huawei promotion period, we created that campaign. And then it was for a 20% discount, corporate discount, you know. Companies, they have like StarHub or M1, they got corporate phone discount. So yeah, we drafted that, send a lot of people click. We just see the report coming in.
Very interesting. Is there any way for like companies to prevent, you know, their employees to access different funny sites and you know, can I install something on the computer?
There's actually an anti-phishing plugin. So it doesn't really prevent you from going to other websites because that will make it unproductive. But what it can do is it can check against all those kind of spam links that has been reported. So there's some sort of like a blacklist.
Okay.
So it checks against the blacklist. So any links according to a blacklist that you won't be able to access.
Right.
But malicious phishing emails nowadays are created on the fly. So it's like created freshly a few seconds ago.
Yeah.
So usually it's not inside the blacklist.
Okay.
Unless somebody report it.
Okay. Wow, looks like dangers everywhere.
Yeah, but nowadays there's plugins where it will read the format of the of the email. So they've used AI to read the format of the email and then they will tell you like, hey, this could be a potential phishing email because it's asking you to go click on something to go somewhere or ask you to download a document. Yeah. So there are soft plugins out there like Office 365 plugins.
Downloading of links and data is actually quite dangerous, because I mean these days I just don't even click unless I really know that.
Yes, ransomware is the number one headache because the moment you get infected, they encrypt every single of your Microsoft Word files or even videos and images that you need for your work.
That's true. So I don't know, like as a business owner, right? I mean, of course, as a software company, we do like, you know, vulnerability tests and stuff.
Yep.
But what is like one thing that I really, three things that I really need to do.
For what, at home or?
No, with the company, right? I'm running a company that's got to do with tech. Right. What are the three things that I really need to do other than vulnerability tests?
Number one would definitely be the vulnerability test because that is your front facing and keeping all your users' data, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So second would be actually to get your employees to be PDPA trained at least.
Okay.
Yeah, because a lot of people actually don't even know the basics of how to store the data properly on their computer and who should have access. All these kind of access controls are not even in place in their company.
Right.
And even like, let's say it's third-party suppliers or third-party marketing companies, some of them even have the full database of your company. So all these must have, all these must have proper agreements in place as well.
Right.
A proper SOP. Yeah.
Okay.
And maybe you want to add more on that.
So for a tech company, like you mentioned, your software-based, solution-based, you know, definitely with tech evolved, there will be vulnerability. So you need to do a pen testing, you then identify your bugs, you fix them. That's one. Secondly, of course, PDPA train. But awareness and education is not only the key to achieving, you know, preventing a data breach. Because knowing is just one thing, but implementing is executing, right? Is the other important thing that all employees need to do. So that's why under Singapore law, it's mandatory for every organization. So not only businesses, every organization. It can be sole prop, private limited, partnership, even non-for-profit organizations or voluntary welfare organizations, charities, whatnot. Everyone's is required. Okay, every organization needs to appoint a DPO, data protection officer. So this is the guy gonna be responsible, okay, and leading the charge for each company's data protection compliance. So number one, you educate your employees, you go send them for training. Okay, then you have to implement and develop the policies that you have to follow. You have to do internal audits, right? So there's a lot of things that a company needs to do to make sure that data, okay, is kept securely and safely. And even some things like retention policies. So under PDPA, you cannot keep data perpetually. You know, maybe last time business owners have the thinking like, oh, the more data my company keeps, the more valuable I'll be. Then one day someone's going to buy me out, right? But
yeah.
That's no longer true. You can keep data, but it cannot. The data that you store cannot be able to identify an individual. So you can anonymize it, you know, can delete certain data, but you cannot keep the full details of a customer forever unless there's a valid business reasons. So yeah, cybersecurity, data protection, all these are, I would say, essential to maintaining your tech company for a long time. Yeah.
Actually, most days, everyone is almost most companies are tech companies. Everyone has a website. Everyone is like e-commerce. I mean, we all have to sell online at some point, especially now, you know. So I think these are good things to know, lah. Yeah, super important.
Because everyone is connected to the internet right now, not only website for businesses, you know, even IoT devices, health fitness trackers, you know, everything, basically everything, game consoles,
True.
Speaking of the phishing, I remember that there was a news also recently came out about fraudsters targeting Singaporeans using local brands, celebrities, even like trying to offer fake, you know, freebies. You guys got the article?
Yes, the one I saw.
Yeah. What are your comments?
Actually, on if you saw Facebook ads, the whole of 2019, there was a lot of people even advertising, like those hackers were actually advertising using fake photos, like Peter Lim, using Lee Hsien Loong's photo, or some even Ho Ching photos.
Correct.
And then I say, hey, you should follow this investment scheme. That's how you get rich.
Yeah. Actually, these people
I saw.
You see so many of these videos around these days. I mean, it's quite amazing, lah. So I guess, you know, I'm not sure about like Instagram and Facebook. I guess they don't filter as much, right? Because they can't really track the credibility of these posts. So it really is dependent on you to kind of like decide.
Yeah.
So how do you see how we can protect ourselves from
it? And these perpetrators, they're actually quite smart, you know. They will take bits and pieces from certain news, then you find those legit articles that got the photo of, you know, like let's say a prime minister shaking hands with someone. Then you try to combine a story together to say, oh, you know, this prominent politician is rich because he made investment in Bitcoin, etc. You know. So I also kena this. And you know where is the best place on the internet to see all this kind of nonsense and scam images and articles?
Where
do you think you like to make a guess?
Facebook.
I see a lot on Instagram also lah nowadays. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's one platform, right?
I would say you'll be on those free video streaming sites. Like those that let you watch all the latest series or movies, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Sure, on the top, the banner, so many one. How to get rich quick. You know, this girl made $50,000 by investing in this and that nonsense, this nonsense. Yeah.
Right.
And it auto pops up also. Not only you must click, you know. You watch a video halfway, yeah, you know, you show right, enjoying, then suddenly the thing come out. They have to click, then more and more come out like that.
Sorry, I don't use those things sites, so I don't know. No, I'm kidding.
So I'm not trying to catch you, yeah. Netflix, use Netflix. Netflix, legit.
Yeah, that's all I do. What do you guys watch though?
I mean, like those anime websites. I mean, those anime websites. Netflix doesn't have. Yeah, and straight away down there, full of these kind of advertisements. Really,
that's true.
Yeah,
alternative.
But any latest series that you guys can introduce, or what are you guys watching now?
Oh, I just finished Breaking Bad.
Huh?
Well, that's super long. But Money Heist is good. You should watch Money Heist.
Money Heist, okay. I'm gonna go and like catch up.
Well, the moment you start watching Money Heist, you will not stop.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. It's I think 4 seasons already.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it relevant to the stuff that you're doing?
No. It's bank robbery, man.
Yeah. Like, oh, really? It's just bank robbery.
It's bank robbery, but it's the whole season is they are inside the bank.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And the police is outside. So, I mean, many seasons of different heists. So,
each season is one heist, or what?
I think it's 2 seasons on one heist. So, two heists, yeah. But it's endless exciting stuff. A lot of betrayals, twists here and there. And how they trick the police. They even make the police come and do surgery on their person and then go back out.
What?
A lot of fun. Yeah, one of the people got shot. But then they blackmail the police. They say they're going to release some sensitive government stuff.
Oh.
Or,
right.
Yeah, and they have some, release some hostage in some of the scenes in exchange and demand of what they want.
But I thought bank robbery these days is online.
The thing that is very nice because of there's a mastermind that planned the whole thing and controlling the whole thing. Yeah, the professor is not even inside the bank, but he's communicating with the people working for him inside the bank.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't we don't spoil money.
Yeah, go and watch.
Okay, cool.
And remember again, when you want to watch, let's say a certain film is not available on Netflix, but this is lah. But in case you want to watch certain videos or series that is already appeared overseas, you know, not yet in Netflix or Singapore, and you know of certain sites, free streaming sites that allows you to watch. Okay, some of the safety tips that you can use is, you know, to install uBlock Origin. Mm. This will help you, you know, prevent all those unwanted ads and all to appear and keep you have a more safer browsing experience.
Okay, what is that again? uBlock Origin.
So it's actually a Chrome plugin that blocks all the third-party trackers and also all those pop-ups and advertisements.
Okay, that's the end of our podcast. Do stay tuned next week again for the next episode.